worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having an absolutely blessed day today. We're staying busy down here at Health Masters, as always. And again, we continue to thank you for your support. Thank you for forwarding out our shows and spreading the truth and getting the information out there and trying to just wake people up in this interesting time that we have found ourselves in right now. And how are you doing today, Ted?
Oh, absolutely blessed, Austin, for this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. And people say, well, that's kind of a Pollyanna approach. Do you really feel that way? And my response is always yes, because, you know, the reality is that, you know, we can tell you what's going on and we can warn you as far as what to do. We can try our best to do everything we possibly can to, you know, let you know what's really happening, but it's up to you to decide whether you want to believe it or not. I can't try to make it so it's real to you any more than we already do, because I don't really want to be in a situation where I'm trying to promote fear porn. And see, this is what a lot of alt media people are doing now, is they're pushing a lot of fear porn because they want you to click on their websites. They want to have their Alexa rating raised up, and they want to be able to charge more for their advertisers. And I'm simply not going to do that, because to me that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because there's really no reason to do that, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And for us to get out here and get all, how should I say, mad and upset and everything else, what's the point of that? Are we really going to try to promote a spirit of fear? Absolutely not. But what we have to realize is this: there's a whole lot of stuff going on right now that is really agitating the racial relations in the United States. And it's very, very important that we all understand that. And we need to understand also that a lot of people are using what's happening right now with the coronavirus or COVID-19 or whatever you want to call this current pandemic they have. They want to make sure they can create as much fear and hatred as they possibly can. Now, why am I saying all this? Well, you know, we're not born of a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we can't walk our lives basically being in a situation where we're scared of people and we're scared to go out, etc. But we've got to use caution. I posted a video on the website, and it's not even one video, it's probably a dozen videos, maybe more, of white women who are being brutally beaten by minorities all over the world because of what's happening with racial relations. Now, it's a very difficult topic to breach and talk about and not sound, you know, like I'm really being prejudiced, and I'm really not, but you got to look at these videos. I'm not seeing white women and white men beating up black people and black women. I'm not seeing that. And I'm seeing a lot of other videos being posted. Now, I realize that not all black folks are involved in this, just like not all Jewish folks are involved with the Federal Reserve Bank, and not all Germans were Nazis who put people into concentration camps, and not all Republicans basically do whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it, and not all Democrats are promoting anarchy. You know, we can't do that. We can't start stereotyping and saying everybody's like this. But here's the thing, guys, is that you've got to be careful where you go, especially today, in today's times. I want everybody to sit down, especially men, listen to me, please. Sit down with your wives. Watch these videos of these white women being beaten. I mean, some cases unmercifully, by groups of minorities, by 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 or 15 people kicking them and beating them and curb stomping them when they're down. And what it appears to be on the videos is that they weren't really doing anything. They were either standing at a bus stop or standing in a subway tunnel or basically some place they were trying to get a ride with mass transit in probably some type of city that's controlled via the Democratic Party or the Socialist Party of America, I guess you could call it. And they're being basically brutally beaten, and the police aren't doing anything. And the thing that bothers me more than anything else, and I don't know even know how to deal with this, is why doesn't anyone help them? Why doesn't anybody come to the aid of these women who are being brutally beaten? So here are some things I want to share with you very quickly. Number one, never go to crime scene number two. In other words, if you're in a parking lot and you think that something ain't right, go back inside and get security from the mall. My wife Sharon has done this many, many times. If you're 21 years old and your state allows concealed carry, get a weapon, learn how to use it, get trained on it, fire at least 1,000 rounds through it so you know how to handle that gun and what to do with that gun, and basically go in and be careful. Now, does that mean you go in looking for a fight? Absolutely not. What you do is you basically are prepared in the event that somebody decides that they want to mess with you. But you're better off, listen to me, to take a security person from the mall or wherever you are out to your vehicle. If you've got people hanging and lurking around in the corners, make sure you see them. Watch for them. If somebody jumps in your car with you and says, puts a gun to you and say, we're going to go here or there, I suggest you talk to your attorney, talk to your husband, whatever you want to talk to. You just gas the car, make sure you got your seatbelt on, and just run into something there in the parking lot. You're better off to stay there than you are to go to crime scene number two, because chances are, if that person's in the back seat trying to basically abduct you and take you somewhere else, he's not going to have a seatbelt on. If you run into something, number one, the car will be disabled. He won't be able to take you there. And number two, it's going to get a lot of attention. Somebody's going to call the police. Sirens are going to go off. And this person's going to run for their lives because they don't want to be caught doing what they just did. That's number one. Don't go to crime scene number two where you're going to be tortured and raped and left for dead or murdered and buried. Don't do that. That happens all the time in the United States. That's why like 50% of basically, you know, homicides and murders in some of these major cities are never even investigated or solved because they don't have time with their police departments to go in and try to figure out who's doing all of this stuff. So you be prepared. If you're going to a parking lot and somebody's parked a van by your car and they've got the passenger side of the van by your door, do not get in your car. Do not go to your car. That's one of the things they do. They open the van door. They throw you in and close the door. And I mean, it's over in 2 to 3 seconds. And you're gone. You just disappear out of the parking lot. If you see somebody park a van by your car with the passenger side by your door, if you had to, get in on the other side of your vehicle. Preferably, go back and get security. Very, very important. Ladies, please listen to me. You know, and if you don't have to take mass transit, especially if you're in a major democratically controlled city, you don't have to take a bus or you don't have to take a subway. Don't do it. You don't want to meet people online who basically want to meet you places and talk to you and be your friend. Don't do that. You know, you don't want somebody to contact you and say, hey, look, I think you're really good looking. I'm a photographer. I want to go do a photo shoot with you out in the woods. You think, well, that wouldn't happen. Oh, yeah. That's happened in our family. You know, you don't do that. You don't go out into the woods with a couple of guys you don't know to do a photo shoot. I mean, why would you possibly think that's okay? You know, we've had this discussion with some of the folks in my family. It's not okay. You don't allow yourself to be put into a position of compromise. If something doesn't feel right, don't do it. If you think, well, maybe there's a lot of people getting shot in this area, maybe I don't need to go there. I spoke to an old friend of mine, Lynn Breidenbach. She's dead and gone and with Jesus now. Many years ago, she died. She had her own talk show, and she used to be the spokesperson. She's a wonderful person. She was used to be the spokesperson for the sheriff's department here in Polk County. And I asked her one time, I said, why do these people get involved? Why are there homicides? Why are people getting killed? And she said to me very succinctly, she said, Ted, because they're places they shouldn't be. They've gone places where they shouldn't go. They're doing things they shouldn't do. They're hanging out with people who are not good people, and they get caught up in this. In many cases, these are good people that are getting killed. They're not aware of the fact of what's happening and what they've put themselves into. See, the biggest problem we have here in the United States is normalcy bias right now. You know, 90% of the people really believe that things are going to get back to normal. They really do, 90%. And then when push comes to shove, according to the data and the research done by Homeland Security, only 3% of the people in the country right now are activists. In other words, they're willing to go out no matter what happens. They're willing to get involved and engage. If they see somebody being beaten up, they're going to try to stop it. Now, mind you, if you try to stop somebody getting beaten up, there's 25 people beating up one person, and you jump in the middle of this fray, and you aren't trained properly, or you aren't armed, or you don't have backup or whatever, the next person who's going to get beat up or killed is going to be you. I'm letting you know that in advance. It's just going to turn on you next. It's just the mob mentality. It's the mob rule. It's how people got lynched in the old West. Now, It's very, very important that we understand that. But then about 10% of the people, 7 to 10% of the people, will respond several every once in a while, but they'll get burned out on it. This will be just basically me, my four, and no more. They'll be done with it. So the government knows this. We've talked to you about the constant beta tests they do, the constant false flags they do, the constant monitoring of the internet they do. I'm going to ask you guys again to do me a favor, and I don't know how to do this because only a small percentage of you do this. You've got to forward these shows that we do. I mean, we can't be caught up in the normalcy bias. We can't have 3 to 7% of you guys sending out the shows. I've got a good friend of mine. His name is Gene. And he stays in touch with me. He sends out like all of our shows. He basically sends them to his Facebook people, everybody knows. He sends the shows because he wants people to be awakened. I've got other people who do the same thing. Very small minority that do that. Guys, listen to me. Every single phone call that you make, every single text that you send, every single podcast, no matter who it is that you listen to, is being monitored. This is 1984 on steroids. It doesn't make any difference anymore. If there's a list of, you know, of people that are patriots, we're all on it. There's no trying to not be on that list. So if we're going to be on the list, let's do it 100%. Let's go all in. And let's realize that we can't be in a situation where we compromise ourselves. We can't be going out into the woods for a photo shoot with guys that we don't know. I mean, who does stuff like that, right? A lot of times they prey on young girls, 15, 16, 17-year-old girls. They meet them online. They talk to them on the phone. Oh, let's go do this. Let's go do that. Parents, listen to me. If you're a dad, you be that dad. Yeah, that's right. You be that dad. Nobody goes out with my minor child until I meet them. Yeah, that's the dad you are. If the minor child decides they want to do things they shouldn't ought to do, put a monitor, put a tracker on the automobile. If they don't clear stuff with you first, take the keys. How about that? How about you take the keys? They say, well, they're 18 years old. They do what they want to do. Well, they can't with your car, can they? They can't just run around with your vehicle unless you give them permission. I don't care if they're 21 years old. They're still living at home, and they're basically you're helping them go through college, and they want to start doing stupid stuff. You don't have to basically enable it by giving them a key to your car. You know, I've had kids before. They're 21 years old. I've had four kids. I'm not going to mention any names. And I've said to them, 21 years old, well, you're doing something I don't want you to do. So you can do it, but you just can't do it with my vehicle. I'm not going to tell you what to do. But you're not involving my transportation or my vehicle. You know, take Uber if you're going to do it. I'm not involved with it. I will not be a willing party to my child's death. This is what the Bible says. Don't be that guy. You know, if you want to do all that, I completely and vehemently disagree with it. But I'm not going to enable it. I'm going to stop for 1 second here. I'm going to get real personal with you guys. Years ago, Sharon had a half-brother. You guys remember this if you've been listening to the show. And this half-brother was basically a drug addict. Had been a drug addict. He was 14 years old. He was 36 years old. He had basically been on heroin for years and years and years. Half-brother, different mother. And I remember I went to the site where he overdosed on heroin, and I spoke to the investigating officer. And I sat in my front of my car. And the first thing he did, and it was kind of strange to me, he looked at my, well, I was wearing a short sleeve shirt, and he looked at me, then he looked at my arms, he turned around, saw my wife in the back seat, he looked at her arms. Now, why would he do that? Why would a trained investigator, the first thing they do is look at my arms? They were looking for needle tracks. They wanted to see if I was clean, because Sharon's brother was covered with tracks, and he was well fed, and he was well dressed. And he overdosed in someone's apartment in Orlando, a big heroin highway over there on Colonial Drive. And the guy said to me, the first words out of his mouth were this. This is what the investigator said. Who enabled this young man to do this? Who enabled it? Who enabled it? And see, this is the thing. If we as parents are going to enable our children to do things they shouldn't ought to do, regardless of the age, shame on us. It's better to be a parent who's not going to be a willing party to their death. We need to realize that. We need to understand that, and we need to know that we need to take precautions for our children. If you know that kids get caught up in pornography when they're 10, 12 years of age, don't let them have access to an iPad. Lock it up when you leave. Take it with you when you leave. Don't let them have access to computers. Don't let them have access to telephones that go online. Just don't be that parent. Don't be that person. I promise you, if you just put security codes on your iPads, they're going to break into them when you leave. And they're going to start looking at stuff they shouldn't ought to look at. And then if you have an older one, they'll drag the younger one into it. Seeing it, have experienced this. I mean, guys, it's so important to be careful with the internet. Now, they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. So what do? We've got 3% of people willing to do help people no matter what. 7% will do it every once in a while. The vast majority of them don't want to get involved. They want to just be stuck on normalcy bias. We, the 3%, I'm believing you're one of the 3% right now if you're listening to me. I believe it's you and me in Austin. We've got to do everything we can to spread the news around. For this show, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that we've got great times ahead of us in this United States of America. The Frankfurt School's taken care of that, haven't they? The Federal Reserve Bank, which started the Frankfurt School, took care of all that too, didn't they, back in 1913? Woodrow Wilson, the great trader, made sure that all happened. Now we're having both sides of our political circles controlled by the same group. We're in the middle of a mess. We're in the middle of a very fight for survival of the United States of America's republic as we know it. And if we don't get out there and get our boots on the ground and start talking about this stuff to our friends, to people that we don't even know in the grocery store line, to people we don't even know, you know, when we're buying things or even at the gas stations, we've got to talk to people, guys. We've got to tell them the truth. You've got the perfect opportunity. Austin and I are the point. We're the tip of the spear in a lot of the stuff. We talk about stuff nobody else talks about. Send the show out. Link it to people. Let's use their own media against them. Let's use their own technology against them. Let's use their own Gutenberg press known as the internet against them. They're using it against us. Let's put it back against them. Let us be the people that go to the solutions for this. Let us pray to God Almighty, since the pastors simply don't want to do that anymore. In most cases, not all cases, many cases, probably 90%. Let us be the ones that tell the people the truth and the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, the truth, the hope that we have in that there's a almighty God, the great I am, who is omnipresent and in all of us through the Holy Spirit once we accept Jesus Christ. Let us be that person who tells the people the truth. Let us make sure that we protect our families and our children. Sit down with them. Sit down with your daughters and your wives. Have them watch every single video on that link I put on healthmasters.com on all these white women getting beaten up. And go over the scenario to the best of your ability, not knowing the full circumstances of what happened in this video, but say, look where they are. What should they have done? And in many cases, the most important thing is situational awareness. You get out of a car and you go, "Ah, this is probably not the place I need to be. I just need to get back in the car. I just need to get back in my friend's car. I need to get back anywhere but here. I need to vacate this situation because this is going to go sideways." Be that person. Think through what you're getting yourself involved in, guys, because this communist group, this satanic group, this group that is basically usurping the very Constitution of the United States and has done so for over 100 years is in their final victory lap of taking this country down. Now they want to get rid of the police departments. We talked about this yesterday, to bring in NATO forces or UN forces or the brown shirts, some federally based police force. And where's Donald Trump in this? Remember a few weeks ago, probably 3 weeks ago now, he was going to declare Antifa a terrorist organization. Yeah, that never happened, did it? Where's that executive order? I don't see that. You know, where did that happen? I mean, no, he's not in charge. We got to get that through our skulls. He's a figurehead. He is controlled. You know, why is Fauci still here? I mean, this whole thing is insanity. Why in the world do we believe that Donald Trump has 175,000 sealed indictments that are going to be released in the next 4 or 5 months before the election? Do you believe any of that? I don't believe any of that anymore. They've done that to keep the patriot community at bay. They beta tested it. They said, well, if we tell the people that we're in charge and we're behind the scenes doing all of this stuff, just to stand firm and just disengage, they'll do that. And that's what's happened. And now Donald Trump is a victim of his own social media censorship. Donald Trump hasn't done anything to protect alt media. Nothing. Hasn't done anything. You know, he hasn't broken up Google. He hasn't broken up Facebook. He hasn't broken up the Sunner antitrust laws. He hasn't even prosecuted them. His attorney general just kind of sits back and watches them. But that's Barr, isn't it? Oh, yeah, that's right. He was involved in all kinds of crazy stuff under Clinton. We've talked about that, too. But, guys, listen to me for a second. If Donald Trump's not going to be in charge, and if he can't do it, if the country's already gone over that slippery slope, then we've got to do it. You and me and Austin and all of our listeners. I love you guys. I pray for you guys every day. I pray God's protection over all of you guys every day. We've got to get out there and tell the truth. Austin, what do you think?
That was extremely well said. And one thing that if you've ever read up on, you know, war and tactics and every other aspect of fighting, you understand that one of the only ways to stop an insurgency is overwhelming force. And I don't necessarily mean violent at that point, but I also mean a overwhelming show of force. Hence why when we had an incident in Auburndale with a protest being downtown, a bunch of us went down there. A bunch of us stayed out of it, but we were present if the situation called for it. And trust me, our presence was very well known. That has to be done in some of these areas. It has to be in numbers, though. The issue that we're running into is you do have some of these guys that are patriots, some of these guys that are wanting to step up to the plate, and nobody will support them. And so they're going out there, two, three, four of them, and there's a protest and a riot of 1,000 people. Like Dad said, I don't care how combative you are. I don't care how skilled you are in weapons or training, taekwondo, jiu-jitsu, it doesn't matter. You get a 1,000-person riot on your hands and there's four of you, you can get your butt handed to you. Unless you're dealing with, you know, belt-fed automatic weaponry, and at that point, you're going to go to prison. You can't start shooting people for running around and mowing them down with automatic weapon fire. That's not legal either. So you have to understand that in order to handle this in some cases, people are going to have to show up in numbers. This has happened in numerous cities now across the country, where they're planning on doing riots, or they're planning on doing protests, which I don't even like calling them protests anymore because they're clearly not protests. This is blatantly way past protesting. And, you know, 200-300 patriots show up downtown, armed. All of a sudden it's like, whoa, this isn't a town that we want to riot. This isn't going to work well for us. And the problem is, a lot of patriots are big talk. They want to talk big online. They want to type hard on their keyboard. They want to say all the stuff in chats. And they want to act like they're big and bad. We're not going to allow this to happen. Then when it comes time to knuckle up, stand your ground. Oh, I'm busy that week, and I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm not saying go get in the middle of the group. I'm not saying that at all. I talked to you guys about that last week. There's protests. There's a riot. Don't be getting in the middle of it. Make sure you have option A, B, and C. Make sure you have an escape route if you have to pull back. Don't be there as an offensive agitator. Don't be there as a provocateur, because then you're in the same boat as they are. But again, we have to start defending our country, because these guys are not going to stop. As I told you yesterday, there's no gray area anymore. You're either on the side of good or the side of God Almighty, or you're on the side of evil and Lucifer. That's pretty much the only two options now, guys. And God's very clear about that, you know, but America has kind of gone into this gray area, and it has. A lot of times, oh, we'll just put up with this a little bit. Oh, we'll just tolerate this a little bit. Oh, we'll allow transgender groups to come into our libraries. We haven't had that here in Auburndale. I can guarantee you if they tried to pull a stunt like that in Auburndale, there would be all HE double sticks to pay with the local citizens. It's not okay. But again, we've slowly, slowly, slowly slid down in the middle of this gray trough. Now you have individuals that are calling for Jesus and churches and statues to be destroyed. You guys saw this yesterday. Sean King's post on Twitter has gone viral. Actually had overwhelming support, as blasphemous as that is. And he said all the statues of the white European they claim Jesus need to come down. It is a form of white supremacy. He goes on to say here, all murals, stained glass of Jesus, his European mother, and his white friends all have to be destroyed or come down. It's a gross form of white supremacy and created as a tool of oppression. Ironically, Jesus actually was it white? We're talking about Middle Eastern descent over there with Hebrew and Jews and everything else. That's the irony of what he's trying to promote there. But again, it doesn't matter. His ideology is unbelievably toxic, but it's also very, very, very infectious. When you start running your mouth about stuff like this and you start blaspheming God Almighty, you really have to start asking yourself, what is the root motive in this? What is the overall goal? Because it's not obviously to stop white supremacy, because the aspect of white supremacy is such a small, minute number in the United States, it's almost a joke. It's not that at all. It's to remove Jesus from everything. That's what all this is coming down to, guys. That's what all of this is led up to. It's ironic you don't hear this blithering idiot Sean King talk about removing aspects of Muhammad from mosque and anywhere else. Muhammad was an active slave owner. He liked having little girls. Married, an 8-year-old girl, 10-year-old girl? Some sick, perverted pedophilia stuff he was involved in? Let's not bring that up. Let's not bring up the fact that he was active promotion of slavery. That basically anybody that's not converted to Muslim can basically is be a slave. They're like less than people. They're like livestock. That's the hardcore Muslim ideology what Muhammad promoted. Let's not talk about that. We're just going to ignore that. Now we're going to basically tear down statues of Jesus. Now, what are we going to allow? Are we going to allow this to happen? Are we going to allow our churches to start being vandalized? Symbols of crosses and Jesus to start being torn down? How far is enough? It's a question you have to ask yourself. You have to find your own conviction in your heart. But I can tell you right now that words are not going to do the trick. The truth, the knowledge that we're putting out there, absolutely. This has to get spread, but it can't stop there. People have to start being vocal and physically vocal about what's going on. The problem is that majority of Christians have basically been dumbed down by the churches, been told to submit to anything, to love your neighbor, which is very true, but then they pretty much leave it at that. Say, you know, if this happens, you just have to stand back and say, well, we forgive you. When they come into your house to rape your family and burn your house down, you're supposed to just say, you know, we forgive you. We're sorry you did this to us. That's pretty much what some of the churches have promoted. That's completely and totally anti-biblical. So again, guys, understand that this is not going to stop with tearing down a statue of Thomas Jefferson or the memorials or any of this stuff. It's not stopping there. They want to remove history so they can rewrite history. They want to change it because, understand, guys, in 20 or 30 years, the younger generation, like my kids right now, Hunter's 4 years old, if we don't stand our ground on this, what is he going to be taught in school? Which, I mean, he probably won't ever be in a public school, but even in college. If these individuals have their way of this communist indoctrination of America and the complete collapse of the United States to turn it into a communist country, what will they teach in 20 to 30 years? Anybody thought to ask that by 2050? It's ironic that the United Nations has this whole plan layout by 2050, whole plan layout by 2030. Well, they want to do all these different things. How are they going to do it? They got to break down the entire back of the United States. The United States is one of the most resilient countries in the entire world. I mean, now you have the city commissioners in some areas. You guys saw this down there in the Florida Keys. The city commissioners now, they've now voted that the unincorporated parts of Keys had relaxed requirements and that they have to now follow guidelines, and that the Monroe County commissioner has now said that face coverings are now required for everyone and any employee and any customer in any establishment in the Keys until June 2021. June 2021. I didn't stutter on that. And next year, they said they will reevaluate it each quarter. They said if you do not follow their guidelines, you will basically have a civil fine of $500. I asked my brother yesterday, my brother's in law school, I said, how can they do this? He said, well, they're elected city commissioners. Because this is not a criminal offense, it's a civil offense. It's like a noise ordinance. It's like playing your stereo too loud. You break a city ordinance, you get fined $100 for playing your music too loud. This is now a city and county ordinance. If you do not wear a mask, law enforcement can fine you $500. They said it's actually more difficult to fight that with an attorney because it's a ordinance and it's not a criminal offense. Whereas if you get a speeding ticket, the burden lays on the state or the county to basically prove you're guilty. It's much more difficult for them to fight that if you get an attorney. He said city ordinances and county ordinances like this are very difficult to fight when you start having elected officials like commissioners come in and completely and totally overtake the bounds of what they can legally do, because once they pretty much write this city ordinance in law, it's a city ordinance. And now it's going to take a significant period of time to ever try to fight this and get this ordinance dropped. Why are they forcing people to wear masks? Why are they telling people that you're going to be fined if you don't wear a mask? They already know that it doesn't even meet OSHA requirements. It reduces oxygen levels too much. One thing I asked Harrison, he brought up a case law from 1905 on the aspect of vaccines and public safety, and he said the easiest thing to do in the situation, Austin, is get a doctor to sign off that basically you cannot wear a mask due to health reasons. Because they cannot tell you otherwise via the AMA, because that's a violation of basically medical law. You can't go in and tell somebody they have to go against their doctor's order, and they can't ask you what your reasoning is or your health condition is in order to not wear a mask, because that violates HIPAA law. It was just one and done. So I talked to him yesterday about it, and I thought, no, I need to go talk to my local doctor, tell him I need to get a sign-off on it. I know Brad Parton, one of our good friends, he already got a letter on that as well. Why? Because that's what we have to start doing now. We have to start making a stand. If you don't do that, where does it go? If you just say, oh, I'm just going to wear a mask. I don't want to deal with this. I'm just going to wear a mask. That's exactly what they're expecting you to do. Submission. But see, there's always a loophole. There's almost always a loophole behind this stuff. And you just have to expand on it. That's what we have to start doing. If they start pushing certain things on us that we find to be unconstitutional in violation of our rights, our personal rights, our personal beliefs, you got to find a loophole to fight back on it. You can't just submit and say, hey, you know what? I don't want to deal with any pushback. I'm just going to submit and I'm going to wear a mask, even though we know via the CDC and the WHO, it does not protect you from contracting the COVID. And it does not produce any safety measurements from contracting the COVID, and it causes serious health problems and reducing O2 to the blood and the heart. Stand your ground, know your law, speak your mind, and find out different ways around this stuff, because once you start figuring that out, we're all going to be in a much better place. But by all means, do not capitulate to this. Now, if you really feel compelled to wear a mask, by all means, do it. Really do it. If you really feel that the mask is the latest and greatest technology, and here's my next question. If it's so good and it's so effective, why have they never required a mask in the entire continental United States for the last 200 plus years? Every epidemic, every pandemic, every outbreak, every flu season, why is it now all of a sudden that you start having to wear a mask now in the middle of all this chaos in 2020? We now have found the latest and greatest technology to protect ourselves is a mask. Anybody ask that question? Mask, that's, I mean, that you're talking all the way back to, you know, early Egyptian times, face masks, keep the sand out of your face. This is not a new idea. This isn't a new device, putting a piece of fabric over your face. This isn't something new. But now, all of a sudden, it's the latest and greatest technology because they have to keep everything at bay. They have to keep submission as high as possible before they can get this vaccine out in the open. I told you guys yesterday. Now they're calling for bringing the MMR vaccine to start injecting it in children because they say it may possibly, in some way, shape, or form, could maybe prevent children from getting COVID if we start injecting them with the MMR vaccine, which has absolutely zero researcher backing whatsoever. Why? They're getting everybody geared up. They're getting everybody ready to capitulate to this. Speak your mind, use your mind, stand your ground, know your rights, and continue to stand up for your truth and convictions, Deb.
You know, Austin, I don't know why other talk shows can't talk about this. I really don't. I just don't really understand. Well, yeah, I know why. Most of them are completely compromised by the Zionist media, and we're not. We don't put up with it. I mean, we're not going to be told what to do. We're not going to be, you know, basically said, hey, you can't talk about Jesus. You can't talk about God. And then again, we talked about this yesterday, how many, so many Christian pastors are falling away and Christian leaders are falling away, and they're renouncing Jesus Christ, and they're basically denying the Gospels and denying Jesus and using their platforms and social media. There, some of them have huge platforms, basically drag their followers away from Christ. Well, the reason for that is they never got saved to start with. They never were truly saved. I mean, they never felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit and felt the conviction of God. I mean, when we're Christians and we know we do something wrong, we're convicted by it. Well, we shouldn't do that anymore. All right, we probably shouldn't do that. And we understand that, and we confess our sins unto the Lord, and we ask for forgiveness, and He forgives us. It's just that simple. But that doesn't mean we continually habitually sin. Now, let me share something in the book of Hebrews. This is really important. This is about Christ. This is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, and we're in the last days, friends, be very, very real, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. Now listen to what He just said. I'm going to read that again. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through Him He made the universe. Now think about that. And then listen to what the next verse says, verse 3. The Son is the radiance, this is Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. Guys, Jesus Christ is the exact representation of God Almighty. Many called Him the second Adam, in which He came in as God's image, God in the flesh, to do what He did, to die for our sins, to bring us back to God Almighty as part of the triune Godhead. Understand who Jesus is and why they don't want His word or His name or anything mentioned in these underground caverns. You know, CERN now, they're trying to build now a new Hadron Collider over there in Switzerland. They've got the permits for it. That's going to be over 60 miles long through solid bedrock. How many trillions of dollars is that going to cost? Who's paying for all that? And what kind of portals are they trying to open with this? This is a spiritual battle we're in. And these guys are twisting history, like Austin said, to make everything white, everything Christian, everything Protestant, everything Catholic, a thing of the past that they can erase from history and pretend like it never happened. God's not going to allow them to open a portal wormhole to go back in time to take Jesus off the cross and never allow the crucifixion to happen, which is, by the way, I believe one of their goals. He's not going to do that. Great, I am, will never let it happen. They're doing everything they can to be omnipresent, including 5G and interconnecting us to a D-Wave computer. That's what Lucifer's trying to do, but he can't go back in time. He's not there. That time's thousands of years ago. He can't go back and change that. That's why it says in the Word, had the Lord of this God of this world known what He was doing, which is Lucifer, He would never have crucified the Son of Glory. That's what it says. But they're trying to fix all that too. And now they're trying to make us believe that the only slaves were black slaves. Well, Ohio State News, and I've got this posted on the website. You can go look at it right now. Ohio State News has come out now with one of their top PhDs there and written an article, and it says, when Europeans were slaves, research suggests white slavery was much more common than previously believed. And there's a painting, a drawing above it. It says Christian prisoners sold as slaves on the square in Algiers by Jan Lucan, and she drew this in 1684. Now let's think through this for a second. New studies suggest that a million or more European Christians were enslaved by Muslims in North Africa between 1530 and 1780. A greater number than had ever been estimated before. In a new book, Robert Davis, professor of history at Ohio State University, developed a methodology to calculate the number of white Christians who were slaved along Africa's Barbary coast, arriving at a much higher slave population estimate than previous studies had found. Now, this is some really good research this guy has done. And many of these cities and towns that were on the coast in the Mediterranean were abandoned because they'd come in and raid them and take the people out and sell them into slaves in Africa. You know, we have to understand, while African slaves did grueling labor, and white slaves did grueling labor on sugar and cotton plantations in the Americas, European Christian slaves were often worked just as hard and as lethally in quarries, in heavy construction, and above all, rowing the corsair, these pirates, galleys themselves. Now, this is something that's been a global problem for a long, long time, and it's not just blacks. And we've got to understand that. But we can't talk about it because it's not politically correct. But guess what I just did? Austin has. Because we realize how important it is to tell you guys the truth. Because the thing about it is, these guys who run the media, these Kabbalists and these Luciferians who do all of this stuff, these are generally not happy people. They go from party to party, alcohol to alcohol, drug binge to drug binge. You know, it's like this Gillum guy that almost became governor that we really missed a bullet on. Thank God with this guy getting caught in that gay meth-fueled orgy down in Miami, naked with a bunch of homosexuals and a homosexual porn star. Yeah, hopefully that guy's career is over with, but they'll spin it. They'll spin it if they want to. They'll make us all believe that was a lie. It's like Obama. He's a gay Kenyan with a guy for a wife, according to Joan Rivers, and here we go. We had to deal with that for 8 years. But you notice the Christians weren't rioting the streets and burning cities because Obama was president, nor should we have. But we had huge grassroots movements against him, which pushed nationalism, which pushed the election of a, quote, nationalistic leader, well, Trump, that basically has let all of us down because he's a figurehead. We didn't realize how little power he actually had. Because the groups of people in Washington, D.C. that are in these non-elected positions, these bureaucrats, continue to hamper everything we're trying to do from a nationalistic standpoint because they're all a bunch of communists. And that's what they do. Even Stephen Bing, listen to this, he committed suicide yesterday. This is Hollywood. They don't have any joy there. They don't have the righteous filling of the Holy Spirit and the righteous piece of joy from the filling of the Holy Spirit. Stephen Bing, philanthropist and film producer, dies after a fall from a building. And now they're ruling it a suicide. I mean, he did the movies Polar Express, Get Carter. He inherited $600 million when he turned 18 years old. No joke, guys, from his parents. He's a trust fund baby. And he basically was so unhappy, he threw himself off a doggone building and killed himself. See, the money is what they put in front of these people. The money's going to make you happy. Having, you know, 14 beautiful women hanging on you is going to make you happy. Or if you're queer, having 14 gay models hanging on you is going to make you happy. None of that makes you happy. Because happiness is based on happenings, which are based upon living in a world where you have to have constant peaks in your life in order to have joy. They're confusing happiness with joy. They want you to be elated all the time at the top of this mountain, having all of these things given unto you. $600 million, and he flings himself off a building. Now remember, he did that last Kingsman movie too. Yeah, they don't want to talk about that. He did that last Kingsman movie in which they were eating human beings. They killed a man, ran him through a hamburger grinder. Don't even watch this movie, guys. It's horrible. And had a guy to prove his loyalty eat this hamburger made from this guy they just killed. That's the kind of sick crap he was involved in basically producing and putting out there. I mean, the first Kingsman movie had some pretty graphic stuff in it, but it was letting you know what they could do with controlled 5G and frequency. That second one was a complete and total waste of time. It should never be viewed by anybody as any kind of sanity because of the content. It was sick. He was involved in all that stuff, produced that stuff. And guess what? Even the $600 million tormented him. Now, the other question is this. Was he on drugs when he killed himself? Was he helped off the ledge? I don't know. I'm asking that question. Was he suddenly waking up? Had they given him too big of a platform? And he was waking up after doing that movie with cannibalism? And was he going to start saying stuff against the New World Order and these weirdos who run the planet? I don't know. You know, it's kind of funny, Philip Seymour Hoffman. he does that Hunger Games movie. All of a sudden, he starts seeing things, and he starts talking about things, and all of a sudden, they find him with a heroin needle in his arm, dead. All of these Hollywood people are basically written into a role. They're playing a part. They're like reading a script, and that includes Donald Trump, who was basically made famous by Hollywood in his little TV show he did for many, many seasons on The Apprentice. And these guys are given this giant platform, this megaphone, kind of like Joan Rivers. And when you use that megaphone against what they want you to do, suddenly they have to retire your part. Suddenly your character is basically retired. Either you disappear, kind of like Jeffrey Epstein did, because I don't believe for a second he's dead. Mossad doesn't kill Mossad. Or they literally kill you because they don't want you running your mouth. They don't give you hundreds of millions or billions of dollars and allow you to accrue that type of wealth and allow you to have that type of media presence to allow you to go off your chain and start saying things. I mean, even Chuck Norris a few years ago was speaking out against chemtrails. Dane Whittington was working with him, and it was actually good, but they were actually getting him to start saying that we shouldn't be, you know, allowing this. And suddenly, like everything was censored. All of a sudden, Chuck Norris completely stopped talking about any of it. Just stopped. Now, did he get convicted that he shouldn't be doing that, or did somebody have a talk with him? I don't know. All I know is this. You're put in a position on this planet where you're supposed to do your role if you're Noel Noah. Look at Mel Gibson. Look at Mel Gibson. Well, I really want to do The Passion of the Christ. No, we don't want you to do that. If you do that, we'll destroy your career. Nah, I really want to do The Passion of the Christ. I'm a convicted, you know, Catholic, and I really want to do this movie. No. You do this movie, we're going to destroy your career. Right after the movie, guess what? He gets pulled over. Has some kind of drunken tirade. Goes all over the news. Career's done. And I was told by a Hollywood executive who worked for a major distribution firm while sitting in a platinum lounge where you can get food, etc., at the Westin in Germany, in Frankfurt, that they intentionally destroyed Mel Gibson's career. I think it was over The Passion of the Christ. That they did it on purpose. See, this is the power they hold when they have the power of the press. That's why one of the communist mantras was to take over the press, take over the radio, take over the publicity, take over all of this stuff. That's why McCarthy tried to warn everybody back in the 50s about the red takeover, the communist takeover of Hollywood. And he was eviscerated for it. Remember, he told us the truth, guys. And this group now has now for the last 70 years come in and done whatever they want to do to brainwash the masses, to push the Frankfurt School ideology into the schools and into your TV sets and into your homes and into the minds and the hearts of you and your children. Now, we've awakened, the people listening to this show. We don't play that game anymore. And if you realize what that TV set does, you can actually mute the commercials and you can see when they try to pull one of their little stunts, some of their brainwashing stuff. I'll watch a movie every once in a while. I'll start laughing with Sharon. I put it on mute and I go, you see what they just did? You see what they just did? They tried to convince me that they were right about this particular social issue. How stupid are they? I see this. But see, guys, that's because I'm awake. And I see it. People who aren't awake, they go, oh, yeah, yeah. You hear what they say? Oh, yeah, that's right. Or they don't even hear them say it. But they hear it over and over and over and over and over again. I've got a friend of mine. Sent a kid up to Florida State University. Kid turned into a complete and total screaming liberal. Hates his dad now. Hates his father. Dad paid for everything. Hates his father. Hates Republicans. Hates conservatives. And now the father doesn't even have a relationship with him anymore because he turned into a complete and total loon. See, this is what they want to do. They want to separate families. They want to cause the great divide. And have people hate one another in their own family units. Have you ever tried to talk to a liberal friend that really has been brainwashed? Have you ever tried to sit down and have a conversation with them? It's not possible. You can't find a middle ground. You can't find a point of start that they'll agree with. I had a friend of mine, he's dead now, a German. And he married this liberal out of Colombia, this communist. And he basically, when Donald Trump won the election, she went into a hysterical meltdown and was literally pounding the floor and screaming and yelling for weeks. Finally told her she had to stop. So they came over to the house one day because he's my friend and, you know, she's kind of like the baggage that comes with a friend. And we tried to have a conversation. And I told her, I said, I don't like Donald Trump, but I voted against Hillary. I liked her less. And that wasn't good enough.
And I said, I didn't like Barack Obama either. And I said, my favorite president was a Democrat, John F. Kennedy. That wasn't enough either. She would not listen to anything about being neutral. She was a hardcore liberal communist, period. And there was no way to break it back out. Why is that? Because they were young. Their brains were hardwired to believe that. They know that. When you get a small child who's 1 through 7 years of age, their brain's in a theta wave state. They're in a dreamlike trance. They have no filter. They can't determine what's right or wrong. The only thing they have is an open, wired, blank slate. Everything you put into it gets hardwired. They know that. And that's why they wanted the school systems. And when you program a child from the age of 0 to 7 to believe that communism and socialism is right, and they got to accept all of this stuff, it doesn't matter. If Jesus Christ himself comes to them from the clouds, floats down, and says, you're wrong, they will not believe. Why? Because their brains have been hardwired. Now, that's the craziest part about that. Jesus said, with Lazarus, remember this? When the rich man died and went to hell in Abraham's bosom or wherever he was, well, he was in wherever it was. I can't remember the story. I'm not going to butcher it. He basically is in hell. Lazarus sees him, could see into hell, and the rich man says, let him just tip his finger in some water because I'm just down here in this torment. Let me just have a little bit of water, because he's the same guy who denied Lazarus food, who had to eat off the floor with the dogs. And then Abraham said, there's a great chasm that's been fixed between us. He can either go there or you cannot come here. And he goes, but I tell you the truth. This is Jesus telling the story. Even if someone returns from the dead, they will not believe. You think, wow, wow, what is that? What makes that happen? That's that theta brainwave programming from a young child. Guys, it's so important, at least for the first 8 years, that you maintain a conservative household. You need to maintain it all the time, but at least the first 8 years, that you teach your children about Jesus, that you hardwire into their brain about the great I am, and about Jesus, and about what he did for you, and what he's done for that child. Make them have that faith from an early age. Don't allow the school systems, the kindergarten, the preschool, to hardwire them to a communist mindset of atheism or Satanism or transgenderism. Don't allow that to happen. Don't allow them to put stuff into their brain to confuse them. Don't allow that. Very, very, very important. Guys, I love you. This is more of a fireside chat this morning, I guess. I mean, this is more of a... We didn't really do a whole lot of news. We just did a whole lot of talking. But I love you guys. I pray for you this morning again. Keep the faith. Fight the good fight. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear. I love you. I appreciate you. Austin, finish it up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Yes, absolutely. And apparently now, after numerous shootings now in the CHOP or CHAD or CHAZ or whatever they want to keep changing it over there in their communist utopia, it's completely failed now up there in Seattle. The Seattle mayor now has now ordered the police to dismantle that following multiple shootings in the area, and apparently another person died. They said innumerable instances of violent rape, arguments, battery, crime spiking by 300%. They've completely and totally tried to prevent the media from reporting on any of it. But now, after numerous shootings, they now have said that they've had enough, and they're going to basically dismantle the whole failed state of CHAZ over in Seattle. And again, this should be, even though it's kind of funny, it's not, because a lot of people were injured in this. You have people that didn't want to be involved up in there. But people need to understand that this is what happens when you allow communism to take over. This was the perfect example. Even when they had basically unfettered electric, unfettered water, the county and the city and the mayor was still giving them supplies and food. This is what happens in utter lawlessness. This is what happens in anarchy when there's no rule of law, no morals, no biblical beliefs, nothing. This is what you have to continue to understand, what's really, really going on right now. So be sure, get the information out there. get the true news out there. Also, to be sure and be aware and be prepared of what's going on the next week or so with July 4th. Obviously, it's Independence Day. I have seen numerous articles, and I've also gotten reports from law enforcement that there has been discussions in city areas and also suburban areas of Antifa coming in and wanting to basically use fireworks and under the guise of arson and gunfire in some of these areas. As most people know, especially down here in Florida, during July 4th, there's always a massive amount of fireworks all over the city, all over the town. And so in most cases, law enforcement is not going to respond to much of anything because there's fireworks going off all night. And so Antifa's planning on trying to use that and fireworks and buying up large amounts of mortar fireworks to come in and take over suburban areas and basically firebomb and shoot areas. Now, whether or not this happens, I don't know. I'm giving everybody a heads up to make sure you lock and load or are well prepared with your local areas, especially in your suburban neighborhood areas. Know the people around you. Know people that you can train with. Be well prepared, especially with comm units, communication units, radios, especially if you can have something like Peltor headpieces. You know, you're pro. If something occurs, you basically can talk on push-to-talks and speak to people that are on your security team around your area and be able to coordinate and communicate quickly and effectively and also quietly at the same time and keeping an eye on everything. So again, thank you for the support of Health Masters. Continue to speak your mind. Be sure if you need anything, call us 1-800-726-1834, healthmasters.com. The product of the week, the joint rebuilding formula, is on sale one last day today, so be sure to check it out. Thank you for the support. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.